the thing. Most of us are chronically online, including myself. It's hard not to be these days, but studies have shown just how taxing a digital existence can be. Luckily for the folks in Northwest Ohio, there is an ever-present outlet for escaping the pull of our curated algorithms, our metro parks. I'm Erin Holden, editor-in-chief of the Toledo Free Press. Each week, I'll be shadowing a different person at various metro parks to see how they are taking advantage of our expansive park system. Whether you are a runner, bird watcher, fisherman, or a mom who just wants your kid to get some fresh air and exercise at the playground, our parks really present infinite possibilities for outdoor experiences. And that's what I'll be doing on this podcast, exploring those possibilities with local folks like you who use Metro Parks Toledo in your day-to-day lives. Because if you want to get away from your screens and back to nature, Toledo's public spaces really do make that a walk in the park. Over the years, I've come to think of myself as a fairly competent photographer. I've had to produce my own photos for so many of my stories that I got plenty of practice. Plus, my phone makes it incredibly easy to get some good shots. I'm sure many creators avoid getting actual cameras for a long time because cell phones are so adept at the task these days. Even though I do all right, I would never describe myself as a photographer. When it comes to other forms of artistry, I'm even less competent. My son will ask me to draw pictures, and let's just say it's very humbling. "Draw a truck, Mama," he'll say, and I've found that if I try to draw one from memory, it will look far less impressive than if I'm staring at a photo of one while I draw. My son, though, he's somewhat impressed by much of what I draw, a reminder that we all have to start somewhere. Other than some childhood paint-by-numbers projects, I've never really tried my hand at painting. So for this episode, I decided to meet up with two artists that can increase my confidence in getting creative with visuals, photographer Chris Basil and plein air painter Aaron Bivens. Toledo Botanical Garden is probably the most artistic of the metro parks, as it has not only a gorgeous array of flowers and trees to draw inspiration from, but also because it houses art studios, shops, and organizations like the Toledo Artist Club. I first met with Chris and brought along an actual camera that I had not used in years, my little Nikon Coolpix L820. Hi, Chris.
Erin, hi. Nice to see you.
Yeah, good to see you. So thanks for meeting me here at Toledo Botanical Gardens to talk a little bit about photography. So you're a member of the Photo Arts Club, right, that is based here at the Toledo Botanical Gardens?
Right. We're a resident organization. We've been close to 50 years now coming up. Our real focus in our club is education. It's coming up on about 70 members, and we like to do a lot of teaching within the groups. We have focus groups on things like various editing techniques, different types of shooting, things like that. We do photo walks. Okay. Also run an annual contest, which is great for the community because we always bring a lot of interest in.
Yeah. So it's for a variety of different skill sets, from very beginners to more advanced.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Can you tell me how you got involved and how long have you been involved with it?
Oh, I've been, I think, probably 15 or so years now. I moved back to Toledo after all my corporate reloads in the mid-2000s. And was looking for getting involved in photography, which has been a hobby for a long time. And I found the Photo Arts Club through our annual contest. I entered it as a guest and found a very good fit. So it's fun.
Right. And I would imagine moving back to Toledo was a good way to kind of get back into getting to know people in the community and that kind of thing.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. After being gone for almost 20 years.
Yeah. So you said you've been into photography as a hobby for a long time. So when did you first get interested in it?
That goes way back, a lot more years than I care to admit, but my time at St. John's Jesuit in high school, got involved with the yearbook photography staff, and so you do all the sports and things like that, and then after high school, I just kept with it because I just really enjoyed, you know, getting out and being around people and doing different sort of images.
So, so you started with a lot of sports photography, and then what did you find yourself doing more and more with your photos?
Well, as I started traveling, I was really migrating towards landscape and nature photography, which is what I do quite a bit of. I transitioned into digital photography, I think probably around 2006, 2007 timeframe. Although it's funny to note that I still use my original camera from the mid-70s and shoot film a couple times a year as well, just to kind of remember what it all was like to begin with.
Yeah. So what kind of camera is that for our camera buffs? I don't know a ton about cameras myself.
It's an old Nikon Nikromat FTN. It has just a single metering exposure and Not a lot of features, but a workhorse of a camera. It still works today.
Yeah. So what is that experience like shooting on that one versus digital? What do you like about one versus the other?
It is so manual that it forces you to be very slow and very deliberate in taking the image. And you know you're using film. So unlike digital, where it's basically unlimited frames, you know you've got a short amount of film that you can use. So you want to be very careful and very deliberate in framing your shot and making sure your exposure is as accurate as it can be. Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to think, really taking up photography now is a lot more accessible. Like you can really pick it up, and even though, you know, there are plenty of skills to be learned, it's much less like, oh, kind of maybe daunting as it would have been back then.
Very much. Yeah. The risk is so much lower, because if you don't like a frame, you can just delete it, as opposed to you've burned up a little bit of film.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Very nice. Sense. Yes.
So are there any photographers that you've been inspired by, thinking both locally and beyond?
Oh, I mean, numerous. We've got several club members that are just astoundingly good photographers. Mm-hmm. Guys like Jamie Moosman come to mind, Kelly Chalfant, Rick Francis are all really accomplished photographers. And I'm probably omitting some other really capable club members as well, but it's a very talented group of photographers. Jeremy Wadsworth, a Blade photographer, is exceptional at just capturing the mood of the city. And same with Doug Heinbaugh. He's a very, very great urban photographer and street photographer.
Yeah.
Scott Grau does a lot of really great event work in town, and I've really enjoyed watching his work as well.
Yeah, I've worked with Scott with the Free Press before.
Yeah. In addition, of course, there's Ansel Adams. This is a huge inspiration to me as a landscape photographer, and also I'm very, you know, deep into black and white photography as well. So I've always focused on any of his work as well.
Okay. And is that what you typically do, is black and white photography?
A mix, but I will always be looking. Yeah. When I'm looking at a shot, I'm always trying to evaluate is what kind of a black and white image that would make as well, even though it may not ever make it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I am always looking at how black and white goes.
Yeah, I'm partial to it myself. I'm very much an amateur. But what is the most interesting shot that you've gotten in this park, since you're here quite a bit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a really challenging question as I thought about it. Go back through, all of my Metro Parks work. I counted up over, thousands of frames that I was looking through this morning getting ready for this. And I kept going back to just a very unique image. I mean, we're in this beautiful botanical gardens, but yet on the far side of the garden is the remnants of an old cottage, and there's a wrought iron gate there. And there's a lock that is on that gate, or a latch that is on that gate, that just has a personality about it, is the best way I can describe it. As I look at all the images that I've taken in this park over the years, I keep going back to that as just being one of the most, different and unique and kind of just standout images that I've made.
What about in Toledo in general? Are there some shots that you've gotten outside of the park that you want to mention that really meant a lot to you?
Again, it's like, what is my favorite kid?
It's hard to pick.
Again, with the thousands of frames. Yeah. I'd rather go more general. And I looked through today and I find the images that I see at Wildwood Park in the fall, especially with all the hardwoods, when the colors are turning. The big meadow there in the dead of winter has just all sorts of, unique images and contrasts and shapes. Mm-hmm. Sidecut Park, when the river is low, walking out into the flats and seeing reflections and a lot of the birds and wildlife that are down in that area. And now, of course, with all of the work down at the Riverwalk and the new public art that is down there, it's amazing. I was just down there a couple of weeks ago and just saw some really great, the new art installations. And really have just been taken away by how much fun there is to be had.
And how would you characterize the kind of photos you normally take? You mentioned that you're really into landscape photography, but how would you describe your work in general, the things you're most into?
It's probably a slight majority of landscape photography, but I really do enjoy the urban and architectural photography as well. Frequently, I'll just go downtown on a Sunday morning when there's very little activity, and walk around the empty streets and some of the exterior facades of some of the older buildings in Toledo are just fascinating with texture and shapes and contrasts and colors that make for some very interesting photos.
Yes.
So, but I'm always looking for texture. I'm looking for reflections. I'm looking for just the nuances in a large scene, and trying to find how shadows can maybe draw an eye from one corner of the image to the other. And so trying to be very deliberate in composition.
Yeah. What are some common misconceptions people have about dabbling in photography for the first time?
Well, I think, as we kind of talked a little bit ago, the fact now that everything is digital takes away a really huge barrier to entry for everyone. And in this day and age, everybody is walking around with a camera, whether they realize it or not, with their smartphones. And the quality of the cameras on the smartphones in this day and age is amazing. I encourage, anybody who wants to get started and get active in photography is just use your phone, just go out. And you'll find that as you start taking those images, then you can start to see and develop an eye of your own.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't require all of the big expensive and heavy cameras and fancy lenses and stuff like that. They're great. They all have specialized purposes. Once you learn that maybe you are into bird photography and things like that, then you learn the type of equipment that best is suited for that. Mm-hmm. But for every day walking around the parks and capturing nature, you don't need fancy equipment.
My other question about getting started is, should I worry about the settings on my camera when I get started? I did bring a camera with me today, and it's an older camera that I haven't used in a while. What should I do about the settings?
I think, when I talk to people about getting started in photography, it can be as complicated as you want to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Today's cameras and phones, as I mentioned, are amazing at producing excellent images in a complete automated setting. And cameras, will let you have everything as simple as just pointing the camera and pushing the shutter button and getting a great shot. Or you can make it completely manual and adjust all of the parameters of the exposure as you wish. I always tell people, especially as they're just getting comfortable, focus more on the quality of the image and the composition of the image, and let the camera do all the heavy lifting when it comes to the technical side of it.
Yeah.
They're good at what they do, and allow them to do it.
So I was thinking we could take a walk and take some pictures, and you could give me some tips.
Sure, I'd love to. Let's do it.
At this point, we happened upon a curvy metal sculpture that was gleaming in the sun. It overlooks a pond and has a wooden window that faces that direction, a nice framing device for photographers, so I can see why Chris appreciates it.
It's such a unique sculpture. The patterns on the aluminum are just very distinct and very unique. I like the curves. I like all of the different arches and the different angles that you see.
Oh, me too.
A lot of times when I'm taking images here, I like to go behind and shoot the arches up against the sky.
Okay.
Because that's a great contrast. For example, if you were, as you see these people walking on this path here, if you were standing on this side of the path, and you could shoot those people right as they walk through the frame.
Yes.
And it shows a really nice, bit of activity there.
Yeah, and you talked about adding texture, so I guess that's part of that, having these different materials and, like, frames.
Exactly,
yeah.
And of course, it's all on slate or granite. I'm not quite sure what the material is here, but the base has got a very good base to it that has, again, a lot of different color and patina and texture.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things you can do here.
So I'm going to turn on my camera.
Sure.
I opened up my settings to refamiliarize myself with them and to get Chris's take on which ones are the most versatile.
The most useful one I found always has just been the landscape setting.
Okay.
Because it's just general and it runs, all the parameters in a very loose and relaxed way.
Yeah. So I'll try that. And then maybe I'm going to take a picture of this sculpture and you tell me, like, maybe if the composition is good, or do you have some suggestions of what angle you would go with this shot?
If you were trying to tell the story completely, you'd start with an image from maybe a bit farther back where you can show the entire installation. And then the general way I like to take a scene on is just slowly step into it.
Okay.
And as you're slowly stepping into it, you're looking at the different unique features of it. And again, I'm always drawn. I've been here so many times that I sort of have a habit now of drawing myself to the arches, because they're, to me, the most visual and just gentle viewing part of it. But again, I love the contrast of the wood versus the metal. Very close-up shots with the capturing that texture on the side of those columns just creates a lot of uniqueness.
I'm also going to try something you suggested, which is kind of using that spot where the wooden window is as a frame. So I'm going to walk over here.
That's great. Let's try that.
See if I can get an interesting shot that way. Yeah, I bet you have a good angle right there.
And now that we're here real close, let's just look right up tight against the texture, and as you run your hand over it, you can feel how that there's level on this,
and
it has a definite feel, and all of that is reflecting light differently. Mm-hmm. And so as you come around this corner here and look up, you can see how the bright sky is reflecting in very different colors. And you can clearly see the pattern of the tool that the artist used as he was making the piece.
So do you have any other suggestions of places in the park where people can get some really good shots?
Well, as I mentioned, I love all the public art in the park. And around the artist village, almost all of the cottages have some very unique pieces that are out in front. And there's a lot of great images to capture there. If you really want to capture the flowers and the plants that the Metro Parks has done a wonderful job cultivating here, back beyond the lake are some very creative gardens that are spread out. There's great plants, very unique images there as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has really inspired me to come out here more and take my camera and get some really cool shots.
That's great. That's the idea.
Yeah,
I'm glad I joined you today.
Yeah,
it was
nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Long before I approached Aaron at the park, he had been working on a painting and had made a lot of progress by the time I came over. To give you a visual, it was a landscape painting centered on a lush, tree-lined path leading to the pond. It's amazing what an experienced painter can accomplish in just half an hour. Aaron is both a teacher and painter who works in acrylic, oil, and watercolor. He also happens to be a part of the Plein Air Painters Group, which is a part of the Toledo Artist Club I mentioned before. Aaron, you were already hard at work at a painting here at the Botanical Gardens. Tell me what you're working on right now.
Well, I'm working on a landscape here, and I'm looking right down this path. There's trees on either side of the path, so next thing I'm going to do from this point is I'm going to lighten up the path coming this way.
Oh, wow.
But if I can take a step back, I start it like this. I just kind of determine what my composition is, what I'd like to involve, because there's so much subject matter out here. You know, there's a whole lot. So I kind of have to whittle it down, because I can't get everything in there, and I don't want to get everything in there. Mm-hmm. Once I determine that, then I start blocking in shapes. That's all they are to me, are just shapes that represent trees in this case. And then after that, because one of the challenges of plein air painting is that everything changes.
I was not familiar with plein air painting. It's a French term that means painting what you see outside rather than in a studio.
So I just kind of put the shadows in first, approximately, so I don't have to worry about them. Even if it clouds over, I got my shadows in there.
I see.
So I kind of put those in first. Then I go from there. And it comes from the Impressionist painters from the 1800s, you know, Monet and Manet and Sisley, those guys. And they broke from tradition, from painting inside the studio and all that sort of stuff, where everything is pretty much controlled. So that's what they did. They were really kind of scorned, you know, when they started out doing that.
Yeah. I wonder what was the argument against it? Like, that's not professional. It's not in a studio or.
Well, it wasn't in the traditional style.
Okay.
You see. Okay. So they all had an idea if we paint outside. When you're painting in plein air outside, I'm not trying to capture everything in detail, just a little bit. And because the conditions change so quickly, you kind of have to get in and get out and work fast. So when you walked away a little while ago and you came back and say, wow. So what I have here, I have a lot of the dark areas from the trees that I see. And if you squint, and I do that when I paint, it reduces all that information, it eliminates detail, and it reduces it to shapes. Mm-hmm. So I got these dark areas, but when I look here, the lighter branches, the lighter leaves on the trees, I look where they are, and I kind of approximately put those in. So I'm going to mix up some more paint.
And how did you first get involved with plein air painters?
Well, I've been a member of the Toledo Artist Club for about 35, 40 years or so.
Yeah.
But I was an art education major at the University of Toledo. Mm. So I was a junior high teacher and all that good stuff. And I've just been painting for probably about 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And teaching it.
And teaching it. In fact, I taught an acrylic painting class back in April at the Toledo Artist Club to adults.
Okay.
So it was a two-day workshop. And, you know, I start right from the beginning with everybody because I have some folks who were kind of scared when they came in. I've never done it before.
That's me.
I said, don't worry about it. I'll walk you through it. And then I have experienced people in the class. So I start right from the beginning with everybody because everybody will learn something,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it worked out fine. And this is just one process. This is just the way that I do it. Uh-huh. But I told them, this is the way you want to do it.
Okay.
No. But, you know, so it works out pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What first sparked your interest in painting?
It all started out when I was a kid, like most kids. I just kind of draw cartoons and that sort of stuff. So I did that along with one of my older sisters after we did our homework. Mm-hmm. She would draw the comics.
Oh, okay.
So I would sit down, you know, beside her, and I'd look, and then I would start doing the same thing. Then after a while, I got a little bit better than she was, and I graduated up to the editorial cartoons.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, it's a little more of a challenge.
Yeah.
So I got to tell you this story. You know, in the magazines years ago, they used to have a drawing contest where there was a pirate and a bulldog and that sort of stuff. So I drew a bulldog, and I thought it was really pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I sent it in, and after a period of time, I got a letter back, and they said, we don't think that you have the aptitude to be an artist. Oh. I said, well, I'll show them.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, that was...
So
that was
you really... didn't let it get you down, but, I mean, it's interesting. Different kids would react, you know, maybe, like, I give up on it, but it's good that you're resilient about that.
It gave me
shame on them.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Gave me inspiration.
Yeah. Probably inspiration to become a teacher later, too, like, be encouraging. So you come to the Toledo Botanical Gardens a lot for inspiration and to do your work.
Yes.
So what are some things about this park that particularly inspire you?
Well, you know, there's just a lot of wonderful, wonderful color, a lot of subject matter. I mean, and I always tell people, I say, I don't have to go far, actually, to paint something and because there's plenty here. I mean, I could stand here and paint. I could take one step this way and there's something else, you know. So it's just, even, you know, right back here with these bushes, I can see the beauty in that, you know, and I could paint all day long.
And I know that you do a lot of landscape and nature based things, but you also have a lot of work that involves people. So tell me, do you, when you're in the park, do you often capture the people that visit the park and that kind of thing?
If I do put somebody in, like these kids over here walking through, it's not going to be in detail, but just enough that you can say, okay, those are people.
Yeah. Right.
But when I do portraits of people, I do those in watercolor, which is even more challenging.
Okay.
So I kind of like the challenge.
As I said, I basically have zero experience with painting, but you said that you could maybe show me a few things.
Absolutely.
So see if there's any hope for me to maybe become a painter.
Yes, there's hope. There's hope.
Hear that nervous laugh? That's because I thought I'd have a blank canvas to practice with, but Aaron generously allowed me to learn some skills on the almost fully rendered painting he'd been working on. I was kind of scared to screw it up, but he was very encouraging.
I'm looking down here at the path in the foreground here, and if you squint, you can see the light hitting on the shadow. It's just coming through the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So I left a few openings there. So it's just a matter of, I kind of hold the brush like this.
Okay.
And I'm just kind of, you know, kind of tapping.
Like flecks that look like the light.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the path right here.
Yeah. Oh, you're doing great.
Is that good? Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You did great.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, sure.
So kind. Honestly, it did become really relaxing, lightening up the green grass on the painting. It made me zen out a bit, like an interactive Bob Ross experience.
When we look at this shadow here in the foreground, we can see the lighter grass.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to mix up some light color green.
Okay.
And, So let's get some of this. And this little this little jelly down here.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, that is a medium that's a solvent that speeds up the drying process of oils. Yeah, so I just put a little in there. We'll lighten that up a little bit. We'll get some white in there. I'll get some more of this yellow. Kind of a nice lemon yellow. You've graduated up to a larger brush.
Oh, yay. All right.
Don't be nervous. Come right through here. Okay. Just paint some of that. We're just lightening
right
up.
Right through here?
Yeah, okay. We're just lightening up that grass. Yeah, just nice and light. Nice and light. Yeah. And I'll do the same thing here. And I like to say that I'm just kind of tickling the...
I love it. See what I mean with the Bob Ross comparison? Aaron is such a patient teacher.
We'll get a little more paint.
Yeah.
I think there's something very freeing about not having to be very exact about like what you're looking at.
Oh, absolutely.
What are some common tips that you give beginners that you find yourself saying a lot?
Well, when you start out, don't worry about trying to paint a masterpiece.
Okay.
You know, it's just a process that takes a while, takes time. And the more you practice like anything, the better you'll get.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a learning process. And every time I do a painting, I learn something new.
What are some things that you feel like you've learned? Is it like, do you mean in terms of technique or just...
Yeah. Process. I mean, there are certain things... I do this first, and I do that next, and so on, you know, so.
And we're going all the way over here with the green?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me get out of your way. So
oh, no, you're good. Painting. I don't want to get in your way.
Oh, no. So I'm just kind of tapping it on here, picking out those light areas, and then we'll swing some back this way.
Okay.
Because the branches go that way, they go this way. And I'm just kind of tapping it on here and want it to look really spontaneous.
Yeah, okay.
And I had an artist teacher tell me, he said, if you want your paintings to look spontaneous, you have to paint them that way.
Okay.
You know? So I'm going to, the path kind of goes here, but I'm gonna pop it right mm-hmm. through here. Let's take a step back here.
All right.
Not too far. Mm-hmm. Now you can see how the trees with the leaves that I put in there.
Yes.
So I just kind of dab those in there a little bit. And I'm going to come back across here, my tree trunks. And if you squint, like this tree here on the right, it's darker on the left side.
Okay.
You see?
Uh-huh.
And then a little bit lighter here. So I'm going to get some of this, and I'm going to put some of that right on this mm-hmm. side of the tree. See how that kind of defined that a little bit?
Yeah. And you had to step back to get a different perspective.
Yeah.
Right.
So you want to know where all the shadows
uh-huh.
are. So in this case, all the shadows are on the left and the light stuff is on the right. And I'm going to come down through these trees and do the same thing.
Wow. Yeah, I love it.
Kind of made a difference, didn't it?
Yeah. I feel like not having to be so exact, it's sort of a remedy to perfectionism, too, in getting started, mm-hmm. you know, with painting.
So sometimes when folks watch me paint, and they say, wow, did you intend to do that? I say, oh, of course.
Uh-huh, right. Everything is intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for giving me some tips.
Oh, sure.
This is I think, could be a jumping off point for me taking a class, because I've always wanted to. I often, with what I do, I'm kind of in my head with my work. I'm a writer and editor, so I'm like, I need to do something with my hands. So this will be really wonderful to get into. And what a great spot to do it. This is like such a beautiful garden to come to. After spending time with both Chris and Aaron at Toledo Botanical Garden, it struck me what a special place this Metro Park is for artists, not only for its inspiring beauty, but also because of its resources for people who want to learn. The fact that the Toledo Artist Club is located on-site and that you can view work by local artists and even take classes under their instruction makes it a standout among all the parks. I've always noticed the impressive array of flora at the gardens, but I had never thought about how alive the place is with artistry. Seeing Aaron with his easel set up so at home with the landscape really made that clear to me. Both of these artists made me feel like I could comfortably be an amateur, that becoming adept at creating is really about the journey, and that you certainly can't rush it. And why would you want to? If practicing your craft brings you to a place as peaceful and visually striking as the botanical gardens, you'll be even more driven to keep creating. I'd like to thank my guests, Chris Basil and Aaron Bivens, for joining me on today's episode. Thanks as well to our production team, M.R. Herner and Chris Pfeiffer, and a special thanks to Scott Carpenter of Metro Parks Toledo. A Walk in the Park With is a collaboration between Metro Parks Toledo and WGTE Public Media. You can find our episodes at wgte.org/walkinthepark or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host and producer, Aaron Holden. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.